Yo, what's BAPPIN' sports fans? It's Aaron, and it's the birthday boy, Stefan. Stefan, happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's your birthday. I saw that on Instagram, right?
It is my birthday. That's right. I'm 35 years old. Isn't that
God
fucked?
Damn. Isn't that... You're still doing this shit?
I know. God. I'm streaming after this, you know? I guess it's just my life now. But,
yeah.
Yeah,
good times, though.
Good birthday present yesterday from the Canucks, and also from my dad, because we're going to be going to game 2, which is going to be a lot of fun. I'm
that was such a roller coaster for me, because I thought you were going to like tell me about a cool gift that you got, and I'm like, oh, it's just the Canucks thing,
right?
But then it was like a real little roller coaster of love there. But yeah, that's super exciting. Game two.
Again, we still don't know when it's going to be. Like, it seems like maybe Tuesday,
because the latest scuttlebutt is Sunday for game one.
Yeah.
I heard on the radio today that apparently Nashville was none too pleased with the idea of waiting an entire week in between, because they finished their season on Monday.
Because I think like there's a certain point where like they don't really have any injuries that they're like resting people for, right? And there's a certain point where you probably go in cold after a while, right? So do they still have Luke Shen? They do, right?
They do.
Wow. And Beauvillier.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Big redemption series.
Yes. For, not guaranteed, of course, that we're playing them, but it's
So I guess
exceedingly
we should preface
likely.
This. We're recording this on Wednesday. Yeah, it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
The 17th of April, Stefan's birthday.
That's
we're
right.
recording it at like 4 p.m. Pacific. So nothing has happened yet in the NHL.
Yeah.
Everything kind of hinges on this Dallas game tonight and then a few other factors.
Yeah.
So if Dallas picks up a point, is locked in, Vancouver's playing Nashville, and Dallas isn't resting anybody tonight against St. Louis.
Correct.
They're playing their full contingency, with the exception that Dadanov is in for Tyler Seguin.
Okay.
But like Seguin's old. He was getting maintenance games off like back in my fantasy hockey playoffs a couple weeks ago.
Right.
So it's not like a bizarre occurrence for that to happen.
Right.
If Dallas gets a point, we know it's Nashville. If not, if Dallas gets 0 points and the Canucks get 2 points tomorrow, they would face the 8th seed. They'd be first in the West.
Which is kind of a cool accomplishment. Yeah.
Yes, probably. So how does the LA thing work? So Dallas would have to get 0 points. Vancouver would have to get 2 points.
Right.
Vegas would have to get 0 points against
Anaheim.
Chicago? Yeah. And LA would have to beat. I have the standings up here. I can just look at them. LA would have to beat whoever they're playing. I think Chicago, which doesn't seem unreasonable.
Okay. It'll be interesting. I mean, Nashville is what? I think it's like 90% likely or even higher, possibly.
So, what was the troll Trump tweet about? Sissy Graydon Carter of the failing Vanity Fair magazine. So, I guess Sissy Dom LeCision of the failing The Athletic didn't update his playoff projections today.
Okay.
Probably because most of them are locked in.
Yeah.
So this dates back to like yesterday morning before everything happened in the East, before Vancouver locked down the Pacific Division. At that point, it had Vancouver at 95 to win the division, and it had the likelihood of them playing. I just had it. Yeah. So it had Nashville at 67% and LA at 28%, which would then leave Vegas at 5%, which seems pretty likely, and I imagine that would have dropped because Vancouver no longer has the chance of dropping to second and playing Vegas in who's in third in the Pacific.
Yeah,
it has Vegas as like the 68% chance opponent for Edmonton.
Okay,
so seems fairly likely that it'll be one of Nashville or LA.
Man.
Thoughts? I feel like we've talked about this like seven times already.
I mean, I think Nashville is, I think, pretty clearly the preference. But at the same time, like, you know, they don't match up great against LA and they haven't all year. But also it's like I think they're due, right? To an extent as well.
Yeah, well, the whole thing with LA is when they get a lead, it's a completely different team. Because I've watched LA play like against other teams. Like I watched a good portion of that game that they blew to Minnesota the other night. They looked like shit.
Yeah.
I've seen them get like worked by the Calgary Flames, which also doesn't compute based on the games that we've seen. So I don't really think that there's this like big mismatch discrepancy between LA and Vancouver that LA has some inherent advantage. I think they've got the first goal all four times they've played, which isn't really like a skill thing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess it is a skill thing to score a goal in the NHL, but it's not like a skill that they can replicate with any sort of certainty.
Yeah.
I get like the thing with LA is their goalies play well behind that system, but Cam Talbot or Big Save Dave Riddich don't really scare me like Uzi Saros would.
No. Saros could definitely steal a series if he wanted to, right? So
yeah, and then there's like Roman Josi as well has been like awesome.
Yeah.
So LA doesn't have a defenseman like that. So there are like, you know, things, people in the Predators lineup that I think are a bit scarier than people in the Kings lineup.
Yeah.
But the Kings aren't playing Mark Jankowski in their second line.
Is he really on Nashville's second line?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
he is. All right. Wow.
yeah. And then third line. So he actually bumped Anthony Beauvillier down to their third line.
Okay.
So like for everything like that's been said about Nashville, like they don't really bother me that much.
It's you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself, but I think out of LA, Vegas, or Nashville, you're probably pretty clearly going to choose Nashville out of those three. And that's not meant as a slight towards Nashville. It's more meant as praise towards the other two teams. I don't think Nashville's a bad team, obviously. And it's the same thing. There was the thing going around about how the lower seeded teams would rather play Vancouver. And it's like, yeah, that makes sense, right? Because the other options are like Dallas, who looks insane. Edmonton, you've got McDavid, right? Like, I get it, right? Vancouver's unproven.
They haven't
looked as good recently, right? So I get it at the same time.
Yeah, like, sure, whatever. The big, like, report, I don't know if you know if report, like, is what you should call it. Like, Taj tweeted out Irfan on Canuck Central saying that he's texted players on the team. I'm like, who are these players on fucking Nashville or LA? They're like, you know what? I think I'm going to text Irf from the fourth period and tell him my preference for first round opponents.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't make any sense to me. And this is coming from the same guy that before Pettersson signed is like, players around the league, they've been talking. They're starting to wonder what's up with Pettersson, what was up with Pettersson is that he signed an 8-year deal worth a shitload of money with Vancouver. So I don't really take his word for much of anything. And I think that's where that scuttlebutt's come from. But like, you're right. If I was Nashville, I'd probably rather play Vancouver. And I mean, if that's out there, that's whiteboard material, right? Like I feel that's good for the Canucks to have in their minds. Like, hey, they're underestimating us.
Yeah. Which I think teams definitely are. And I think, you saw yesterday, I mean, obviously Calgary is not like an insane team by any stretch of the imagination, but they seem to play just so much more confidently in front of Demko, right? Like it was like night and day. They looked like a different team.
I think they were also kind of just like once they got the first goal, two goals, they were like, okay, we're going to win this. We're going to win the division. And they opened up big time. Like you don't really see the Canucks give up 40 shots ever. It was very... very loose.
Yes. And I also think like so that last power play when they were still trying to score was so funny. And what it reminded me of a lot was when the Sedins scored that between the legs goal.
Absolutely.
They're just like toying with them at that point, right?
Was that against Calgary too, or was that against Edmonton?
That was against Calgary as well. Yeah. Because I want to say Kiprusoff was still in net for them at that point.
But you know how people remember like where you were when 9/11 happened?
Yeah.
I remember where I was when that Sedin goal happened.
Oh yeah. I was down in the basement watching with my dad and it was fucking great. And we were flipping the fuck out. It was unreal.
There's a UFC card that night and I was at, I want to say that it was the Donegal pub in Calgary. I know I was in a pub, but I was watching like the end of that game in the bar next to the UFC screen. And I mean, obviously I'm in Calgary. So a lot of people were upset by it, but I was like, yeah, woo, go Canucks. This is our year. Well,
it was 2010 too. That was a thing. Like it was not, it wasn't, it was the year before the 2011 run.
Yeah.
It was the year they lost to Chicago in the second round. Anyway.
Where were you when 9/11 happened?
I was on my way to school because it would have been at like, it would have been
early.
Well, because it was like, no, but because on the West Coast, right? Because it happened at like, I mean, I guess I was still asleep at that point. So 9/11, okay, yeah. 9/11 had already happened when I woke up.
Right.
So it would have been, I think that maybe the towers had just fallen when I woke up because it would have been at like, here, let me, this is a great thing to Google on your hockey podcast.
Yeah.
When, what time did the towers collapse? 10:28 a.m. Yeah, I would have been up.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so that was like 7:30. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, growing up in Dawson Creek, we never switched times. We just went Pacific time to Mountain time mm-hmm. to Pacific time, just depending on when the daylight savings happened. So I think at that juncture, we would have been Pacific time still because I always hated fall back. Because, well, I didn't get any more sleep, and it just meant Canucks games were on an hour later.
Yeah.
So then I'd be more tired the next morning from watching hockey games.
Right.
But I had woken up early for school that day, and I was like, oh, sweet, I get to watch some TV before school. And I put on, I think, the only channel that wasn't covering the first plane hitting the WTC. I put it on, remember Men TV?
Yeah.
It was for our non-Canadian listeners, it was like Canadian Spike TV. It was like shows for dudes about cars and shit and like chicks. I wonder what some other programs were, but they were playing Alien Autopsy.
Yeah.
And I was watching the, what the fuck? You know what hit the, what Men TV is called now?
No.
History 2.
No, it's not. Come on.
Yeah.
It is. History 2, all one word as well. What the fuck? History 2.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. What'd you?
Man,
okay,
it used to be called The Cave. They rebranded to be called The Cave. It launched, 4 days before 9/11.
Wow. So it was like fresh. I'm like, damn, we got this cool new channel. I'm going to watch the Alien Autopsy at 7 a.m. for going to sixth grade. And then, and my dad always liked watching the news before work. We always had to switch to CNN.
Yeah.
And so my mom's like, well, your dad's getting up. You got to turn on the news. I'm like, this is bullshit. They're dissecting a gray alien.
Yeah.
And then it was like right after the second plane hit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
God damn. How good, not to change the subject from
9/11.
How good was the Hronek thing yesterday? That was so funny.
Oh, yeah, man. He was serving.
It was incredible. We've heard him talk like twice all year, right? And that was one of those times. It's so good. And then the other thing I feel like people aren't talking about as much is obviously there was the holidays. Like you got holidays in 2 days, right?
Yeah.
You're on holidays in 2 days. That was so funny.
The I feel sorry for you was just so cunty. Oh,
man. God.
He's the man.
That was brutal. I think he was talking... I don't know who he was talking to, but it was great to see.
Yeah. I think it was just their bench. Like, I went in that moment from 7.5 is a bit too much to 7.5. Let's go.
Yeah. That was so nice to see.
I don't know. Just generally speaking, at this part of the season, I think is going to be like the most carefree and kind of positive will be the entire year. Because in a week from now, the first
so
game of the playoffs
out of my
will
mind.
Happen.
Oh,
we're going to be so stressed.
Holy shit.
Even before like regular season games, you're like looking for narratives and what's going to happen with the standings. The only thing now is like, are they playing LA or Nashville, which whatever, you have a preference, is not a big deal.
Yeah.
I'm just excited for it to get started. And that game last night was such a good cherry on top.
Oh, it was wonderful. Like, I don't care what happens against Winnipeg, and I feel like
who
both teams
gives a fuck?
Should just be like resting everyone, basically.
Which I imagine is what's going to happen. Like,
yeah,
do I want to watch the game? Would I be served like better served doing something else.
I mean, I guess I will. I'll be watching the game just because it's on, and like, you know, maybe I don't know who they like. Nothing really interesting is going to happen in that game.
You're not
going to
get any information from it.
No, and ideally they just rest everyone that they can, you know, but
Strongly hinted that he's going to. There is a lot of quotes after the game about like, well, I have to talk to the trainers and see how guys are feeling. I'm going to talk to some of the guys. And then today, I think he was saying he still has to talk to some guys to see who's going to like go.
Right.
He did confirm that Demko's playing and Demko wants to play.
Okay. But I mean, I feel like they might just like take him out after a period or two, probably, well, depending on how it's going.
That's actually what Tockett said.
Yeah.
Where the question about like, they asked, you know, is Demko going to play? Yeah. Are you concerned about it becoming like shinny because both teams don't really have much to play for? Don't want to get hurt before the playoffs. And Tockett said, well, I'll tell you this. If we give up 40 shots before the third period, he's not going to be starting the third period. So he's like just as aware of it as like we are, which obviously. It'll be cool.
Yeah.
I guess it's their fan appreciation night, so I'm not really expecting a big Canucks performance.
No. I mean, it would be cool if they won the Western Conference, right? I mean, that would be very cool, obviously. But at the same time, they've won the division. And what, you know, what more can we ask for? I think you're right. Like, this is the game where, like, who gives a fuck, right?
Just
nobody get injured, please. Like, that's all that matters.
Honestly, I think playing Nashville's cooler than winning the conference.
Yeah, I kind of agree. The only thing, like, the only downside with Nashville is the travel, but I don't think it's, like, the travel's going to suck because the series is going to be, like, so compressed, probably.
Yeah, there's probably going to be some back-to-backs in there.
So that's not great.
Direct flights are difficult.
Yeah, that's not fantastic, obviously, but all the more reason to like try and get the series done as fast as possible if you're either team, really.
Yeah.
And I think they match up well against them, and I think I could see that. Any playoff series is going to be chippy. Obviously, it's the playoffs, right?
Oh, but yeah.
I think like Nashville, Vancouver, there could be some really rough stuff happening.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, you've got Shen who likes to hit. You've got Jeremy Lozon. Let's look at the damn Nashville Predators lineup.
Yeah. And we're 1-0 against them in playoff history, too. So
that's true. I was looking up Uzi Saros's playoff statistics,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like it's a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde situation.
Okay.
Where 2021, he had a 921 save percentage. The year before that, 895. The 2 years before that, he had a 952. It was only in five games.
Sure.
Like in 2018-19, he only played a game.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Pekka Rinne, I guess, would have been.
Yeah, he's so young. Because I'm looking at his age here, and I'm like, oh, yeah, of course he only played that many games. He was, 22?
Yeah.
and then, yeah, he made an appearance the year before that. 824 in two games in 2017 when he was 21 years old. So yeah, like I'd still give the edge in net to Vancouver though, right?
I think so. Yeah. Saros has been, he started the year kind of bad and then obviously they had the huge hot streak.
We'll just see it this year, and totally is at a 913, even strength.
I think it's Demko for sure. I mean, I think Demko's probably going to finish second for the Vezina, even with being out with injuries for a time. But yeah, I mean, I think forwards, it's definitely Vancouver.
Absolutely. Even the defensive depth charts, right? Like, yes, the McDonough-Josi pair has been good, but I'd still take Hughes Hronek. Jeremy Lozon, Alexander Carrier.
Yeah,
and then Spencer Stastny,
who I've never heard of.
So. No fucking idea.
Interesting. Okay.
And then
20 games played, 24 years old. Seems like a tweener, maybe. Do they have injuries?
Scratching Barry and Fabro.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Okay.
Top line, Forsberg, O'Reilly, Nyquist, they're going to be playing a shitload. kind of wondering, assuming the Canucks do play them, who the hard match is going to be, if there will be one.
Yeah.
Do you send out the Garland line with Lindholm, or do you just send out JT? Because you would imagine that Nashville would want to match them against the JT Miller line.
Yeah.
Right? So if that happens, then, well, you can put out the Garland line against their second line of Jason Zucker, Mark Jankowski, and Colton Sissons. And then that leaves the Pettersson line against Beauvillier, Thomas Novak, and Luke Evangelista. I like those odds. Like, that no matter how you slice it, there's going to be a mismatch somewhere, right?
Yeah. Did Forsberg have the best season? And no, okay. So he was, that's the second most points, I think, in team history.
Really?
Yossi had 96.
That's right. Yeah. And Forsberg's 22. At 94.
Yeah, but this is the most goals in team history with 46. So
I was kind of curious, like, because I heard that Kucherov had 140 odd points. I'm like, wow, that's a lot of points. I knew he was near the top, and I knew that like McKinnon and McDavid were there as well. But the actual number, like point totals, I hadn't really considered or comprehended.
Yeah,
and so I just pulled it up on NHL.com earlier. Where do you think Elias Pettersson with his bum ass season is in NHL points this year?
Top 20?
Yes.
I'm going to say 17th.
That is exactly correct.
Wow. Wow. Woo! Oh,
can't
my
lose.
God. Holy shit.
Which is like more points than Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah.
Sebastian Aho, Braden Point.
Okay.
It's, let's see, he's. Well, he's 2 points behind Quinn Hughes, who's 15th, and
man, Kucherov
three
might get
behind
a,
Sidney McCrosby.
Kucherov might get to 1,000 points next year.
Wow,
he's at 871 right now.
Who are they playing tonight? They're playing Florida tonight, right?
Are they? I know they're playing them in the first round, which is gonna be like there's some really good matchups. The Toronto Boston one,
yes,
that's gonna be a lot of fun. That's gonna be crazy.
The Lightning are playing the Maple Leafs today, and they've already scored twice.
Oof. Wow.
I guess
both teams are probably pretty checked out.
Yeah, are the Leafs
locked in?
Like, they're playing. Okay, they're playing Matthews, they're playing Marner, they're playing Nylander.
Well, they're
going to
play Matthews because he's one away from 70.
Yeah,
right?
Of course. Kucherov has a goal, but no assists yet.
Okay.
I hope
yeah, because
he needs
one more for 100, right? Yeah, he's at 90. That's so crazy, man. God damn.
But for all the ink that's been spilled about Pettersson this year, I thought it was pretty funny because I doubt anyone in Carolina is saying, well, we're going to see if Sebastian Aho can step it up this playoffs.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, well, we're going to have to think about trading him to Salt Lake City or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not as much of a crazed market, obviously, but I think it really puts things into perspective.
It absolutely does. Yeah. I mean, obviously, he just signed the contract and everything, too, but He's gonna be good in the playoffs, you know. Like I think I'm calling right now. He's gonna score a goal in the first game. He's gonna score a goal in game one.
Well, you can't get your guesses wrong these days. So
I know.
And JT Miller, 3 points behind Leon Draisaitl, tied in points with Mikko Rantanen.
That's pretty crazy.
That's fucking wild.
Yeah, yeah. He's had a great year. Yeah, I mean, it's just been. It's been a really good year for the entire team.
Yeah, like there's.
Is it the best or second best? Did we figure out? In terms of right, it's their third best. I think you said.
Third,
obviously, it's not best, but
third best.
Yeah, because the top two in terms of points would have been the President's Trophy years, right? And then is it this one?
Then it's this one. Yeah, this is only their third time hitting, 50 wins.
That's so crazy.
Yes. Points. If the Canucks win tomorrow, they would tie the record of the 2011-2012 team.
God damn.
Yeah, like exactly tie it. Like 51 wins, 22 losses, 9 assists. They're currently at 50 wins, 22 losses, 9. Did I say assists? Overtime losses.
That's so crazy.
God it's crazy, damn. Too, that they're... Previously, the third best season was the first Luongo season.
Yeah. Yeah. Man,
when you think about like where that team measured up in the playoffs and how like outmatched they were by the Ducks.
Anaheim just like dismantled them. Like it wasn't even close. They won one game against them, I think, right? And then
Yes.
Oh, that was the year Anaheim won the cup too. So
yes. Like I don't know, the playoffs are weird, right? There's been talk about how do we contextualize this season, and it will all depend on what happens in the playoffs. I kind of think we're playing with house money because no one, least of all us, expected the Canucks to be here right now. I expected them to be in maybe the Nashville position playing Edmonton or Vegas or whoever. If I did expect them to make the playoffs, which I don't think I did, I would have said it was a negative coin flip, I believe, if we went back in our archives. But so much crazy fucking shit happens in the playoffs. I'm not like a anything can happen type guy, but I kind of think it's anything can happen for about 14 teams that are in the playoffs this year.
We keep talking about how it's like so wide open this year, right? Like it's like insane how wide open it is this year.
With the exception of the two bum teams in the East, Washington and the Islanders. If you tell me any of those other teams win the cup, I'll be like, okay, I can see it.
Yeah.
Maybe not Nashville and maybe not LA. But even then, like, time machine, LA wins it somehow with like crazy goalie run, and maybe Dubois becomes good, and like I wouldn't be stunned.
It could happen. It is possible. It could happen.
So I'm here for it. But you know what could just as easily happen? The Canucks get like Tampa Bay, Boston Bruins swept out of nowhere, right?
No question. I mean, that would suck ass. I hope it doesn't happen, but
that would be disappointing as fuck, but I would still be happy with the direction of the team.
Yeah.
It would feel like a waste with how good like JT Miller's done.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know how many more 103 plus point seasons he has in the tank.
Yes.
But fuck me, I didn't know how many more 99 plus point seasons he had left in the tank going into this year. So who's to say?
God, dude. What? I mean, it really is like you step back and you look at it and it's like nobody, even the most like, I mean, I don't, not jaded. It's like the opposite of jaded, like dumbass, pro Canucks, they can do nothing wrong fan. Even they wouldn't have seen this coming. You know what I mean? Like, I know John Garrett says he picks the Canucks to win the Stanley Cup every year, but I think obviously it's a little bit tongue in cheek. I legitimately don't think anyone saw them being this good. Like it's just such an absolutely unprecedented step forward for them. So, what a year. And I'm definitely getting nervous for the playoffs, but I'm just like so excited to watch hockey that like really matters. Cause it's just
I'm serene for now.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm serene until the second the puck drops, actually probably the morning of that playoff game, but we're going to have some other playoff games before then, which is going to be really fun.
Yes. So it starts on the 20th?
Saturday, yeah.
Oh, man, that's going to be really fun. Yeah, I think I'm doing a birthday dinner that night and then over at my parents' house. So I might head over early and just watch some hockey with my dad. I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Because you got to imagine we're getting Vegas-Edmonton that first night, right?
It has to be. I would hope so. That's gonna be an insane series. And of course, unfortunately, we do have to cheer for Vegas. Honestly, it's not gonna be that hard for me because I do hate Vegas, but I think I hate their fans more than anything else.
I hate the idea of Vegas, yeah.
Sure. But it's when it comes to Edmonton, it's like I'm fucking cheering for anyone against them.
Actually, the fact that Vegas has a hockey team and it's successful there doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah,
ghoulish ownership, etc. But I mean,
that's every team.
Look at every other fucking owner in the NHL. But what I hate is when I see people in like Calgary or Vancouver who claim to be Vegas fans.
That is insane to me. Come on. If you're going,
I saw that because I went and watched Vegas play in the Saddle Dome.
Yeah.
There are people walking around in Vegas jerseys.
Yeah.
Grown ass adult people.
Yeah.
And like that is unacceptable to me.
That's insane. That's unreal. Like that. Like, come on.
Maybe if you were a kid and you started watching in the playoffs last year, and you're like, boy, I love Jack Eichel or whatever. Because, like, if I had a weaker constitution as a 7-year-old, I could have easily become a Colorado fan because I love Joe Sakic and Peter Forsberg. I thought they were cool as hell. And that's when I first really started paying attention to hockey, was the year they won the cup. And Patrick Waugh. But, yeah. I mean, I still knew that Vancouver were the good guys. And so if they played the other team, like, I was cheering for Colorado against the Wings in the playoffs or whatever. But when it came to crunch time, I wasn't going to get any fucking Colorado Avalanche merch.
No, no, of course not. I mean, there's...
If you're fucking in your 30s, come on.
That's
give your
insane.
Head a shake.
I mean, if you're just getting into hockey, I guess maybe. But like, that's just clearly bandwagon fans.
And yeah, what, you moved to Calgary from Vegas after the team's inception and you really got into hockey? Fuck, like, you, no, you're a bandwagoner. Go to hell.
They were not Vegas fans in Vegas's first year when everyone thought they were going to be terrible. I will say that right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When they were new, I was like, oh, wow, an expansion franchise. I haven't seen one of these in my adult life. This is a cool novelty. I remember where I was for their first game against the Dallas Stars as well. I was at a Chili's eating a dinner by myself. Or maybe it was an Applebee's. And I forget why. I was just like in the area. And I'm like, fuck it, I want to have dinner. Maybe I was waiting for somebody. Who cares? But yeah, it was definitely an Applebee's.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Okay.
That's something else I wanted to talk about with relation to the playoffs. Oh, yeah. Edmonton, Vegas.
Yes.
Do we actually think that, what do we think is going to happen there? If assuming that's the one, I think we're going to do a playoff like preview episode. So,
yes, I mean, I do sort of think Edmonton is going to destroy them, but I just think like worst case scenario, you know what I mean? And that's what the worst case scenario would be is.
Yeah.
Edmonton destroying Vegas, getting past them, and just like being like, we can beat anyone now. You know what I mean?
Big picture.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what would be better for the Canucks, assuming that's the matchup. Because I think you do, if you're going to make like a long run or whatever, mm-hmm. you need to get helped out by other series, right?
Yes.
So it would be great if the Canucks got to dodge McDavid, assuming they go on, right?
Yeah.
So it would be very cool if Vegas beat the shit out of them in like a 7-game series. They're a little bit beat up. Edmonton loses. But I think if that Vegas team is beating Edmonton,
yeah,
it means they've figured it out, which is terrifying.
Really scary, yeah.
Because that means they're much closer to the team that won the cup last year and much further away from the team that like lost 4-2 to Vancouver the other day.
I just think there's no good matchup in the second round because, like you said, if either of them wins, it's like, oh, they've kind of got their shit together and they're going to be really scary, right? Whereas if Vancouver beats Nashville, it's like, okay, yeah, I kind of saw that. I saw that coming. You know what I mean? Whereas Vegas, Edmonton, I think is like a total toss up.
That said, if like they beat the shit out of each other and Edmonton comes out on top, I would feel more confident about beating Edmonton in that scenario just because of the psychology of Vancouver having beaten them 4 times already this year and kind of having their number. And Ian Cole called the game against Edmonton playoff adjacent, which I think is a great way to describe it. And like they've won a playoff adjacent game against them, granted without Demko or without Connor McDavid. Edmonton's less deep and Vancouver, I feel, has more depth through their forwards and even maybe in their defense. Like, I don't know why you fucking rate Darnell Nurse, but.
Yeah. Obviously, Bouchard and Ekholm are really good.
Yeah. But so are Hughes and Hronek. So that's like a wash. And I would say advantage Vancouver, honestly.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe Nurse is better than whoever you'd pick for third in Vancouver. But I'm also picking the other guys over Cody Ceci or who's that? Delorier? Is that his name?
Yes. Yeah. Sort of. I don't know how young he is, but he's like one of their newer guys, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I know he's probably like 27 or something. Let's find out. He is 27. Nailed it.
Wow, nice. There you go. Yeah, okay. Good job.
I've looked at Cat Friendly a time or two in my day. Then Brett Kulak, Troy Stetcher.
Yeah.
Cody Ceci. I like Vancouver's bottom four defensemen as a whole better than I like Edmonton's bottom four defensemen.
Yeah.
It's just, the McDavid and Draisaitl factor, which
you can't discount that. You can't discount it. Terrifying.
That's like their whole thing. But I kind of just feel like they're a bunch of losers that are always going to lose because they just always find a way to lose. Like, is that reputation ever, are they ever going to get past that reputation?
That's the thing. I think beating Vegas would really help with that, obviously, right? So
in some way, yeah.
Like beating Vegas would be sort of like us beating Chicago, right? Like not quite the same, but Vegas destroyed them last year, right? Just embarrassed them. So.
Yeah, and I think that was Edmonton not being ready for Vegas.
Yeah.
That's kind of Edmonton's deadly fault is they're prone to gaffes.
Yeah, Edmonton losing in the first round, that's just my dream. I need that to happen.
That's a big win in and of itself, right? Beyond the broader.
Just not having to worry about them winning the cup, right? Because for me, it's it would suck if Boston won the cup. It would suck if Toronto won the cup, but I don't hate Toronto as much as a lot of Canucks fans do.
I could give a shit. It'd be annoying in the media, but I like Austin Matthews just fine. Yeah, Nylander's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
I would hate to see Bradtree Living be that the guy. Would be very annoying.
Given how bad his offseason. But yeah, I think that would not be the end of the world. Literally the only team I don't want to win the cup ever is Edmonton. That's it.
And Chicago.
But even then,
it's so far away that it's
and they've won before, I mean? So, I think, for me, it's, and I mean, I know Edmonton has too, but I could not deal with that. I want them to fail. I want Draisaitl to leave. I want McDavid to leave. I want them to suffer. That's all I want. Yeah,
doesn't the thing, and this is some sort of fallacy, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Doesn't the Toronto team remind you kind of the windows closed Caps team that won the cup?
A little bit. Yeah, absolutely.
Because everyone's kind of discounting them.
They're totally discounting them. And it's just one of those things where they fuck up in the playoffs for so long, and then all of a sudden it just clicks for them, right?
I think some psychology with them playing Boston, especially after the 4-1 year.
Yeah. If they beat Boston, and then it's them versus Tampa or Florida the next round.
Yeah. Boston has good goaltending, right? But
yeah.
Kind of shitty. PDO merchants for sure.
They are.
Actually, no, can't say that. Vancouver's got a better PDO this year. but fractionally, right?
Yeah.
I think, they really good goaltending, great team buy-in, but the whole center thing, Charlie Coyle, Pavel Zacha, Toronto looks a lot better down the middle.
Not great, yeah.
Don't know about the back end. Probably don't watch enough Toronto games, but that's pretty dire, isn't it?
It's not great, I don't think, yeah. From what I've seen, it's not as good as it has been in the past, for sure.
You see this bullshit? Matt Murray is going to be off of LTIR just in time for the playoffs.
Okay, all right.
Bastards.
Is there any news about Mark Stone?
Beyond that he was skating last week, I haven't seen anything.
Okay.
Yeah, let's see. Morgan Riley, TJ Brody, Jake McCabe, Timothy Liljegren, Connor Timmins, Joel Edmondson. Is Giordano hurt currently?
Is he hurt or retired?
He's playing. He's on that team. Let's look at their depth charts. So it's Brody, Labushkin, Benoit Liljegren, Giordano Timmins. Okay, they must just be resting Morgan Riley tonight.
He's 40 years old. God damn.
And Jake McCabe.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. This is going to be interesting. It's cool seeing what do you call those original six teams play each other?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of history there, obviously. So what are all the matchups?
So right now, the East is set.
Okay.
It's Battle of Florida.
Okay.
It was a Florida and Tampa, Boston, Toronto, Rangers versus Capitals.
Okay. And
Hurricanes Islanders. A lot of easy travel there, eh? Like, yeah, Florida doesn't have to move out of state. Boston, Toronto, really close.
Yeah.
Carolina, damn. New York, not too bad. New York,
the East, it's always really like easy. Relatively close anyway, it seems like. So, I mean, New York over Washington seems like the obvious pick there, obviously.
Yeah.
Carolina over the Islanders, same thing.
Piece of cake.
Probably Florida over Tampa, but also you never know. Like, they're both, like, obviously you can't count out Tampa. And then Boston, Toronto.
I'm kind of counting out Tampa.
I would pick Toronto, I think, but another one.
They'd be my pick as well.
That's another one.
We should
try and
get John on before the playoffs start. Yes. We can do like a little absolutely. Rundown.
I would love that.
When all the matchups are set. But speaking of the East, did you watch any of the drama yesterday unfold?
Oh, that was so funny, man. I mean, so Tortorella said that they didn't know, right? Because Detroit had like just tied it up. And I think they were just going to do that no matter what, like pull their goalie in regulation. But that's so funny because it does seem like a petty enough thing for him to be like, fuck this. We're gonna ruin three other teams' playoff chances.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, so I watched the first two periods, and I've been watching more Red Wings games recently. Like, they were the team that I wanted to make it. Like, they're entertaining games. Forgiven Wallman to an extent about his dancing earlier this year. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They seem like a fun team. Like, I think Red Wings Rangers series would be way more entertaining.
Yeah.
And I just kept fucking giving up goals to the goddamn Montreal Canadiens with the season on the line. Jeff Petrie is so fucking awful.
I don't know why they didn't call up Simon Evanson earlier in the year, because he's been so good for them. And they keep like trotting out just these corpses on the back end, right? Like, I as someone who has Evanson in a keeper league, I follow like Detroit's like subreddit and like their HF boards page. And people are so sick of like Petrie and like all of the veteran defensemen on their back end.
Ben Chiarot.
Yes. Yeah.
I heard an argument today on some show I was listening to. It was like a I forget who even said it, but it was like a national guy, not a Vancouver guy. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about the Red Wings drafting and like where they're positioned and will fans be tired of Yzerman yet, et cetera, et cetera. And the big fault of Detroit, right, is they were faced with, do we have Larkin as like our older guy and continue to develop and draft and have a young team and he'll be like the mentor to the young guys? Or do we get more peers for Larkin and then hope that our existing young guys step it up? And they went with option B, which is probably the shittier option. And now you lack cap space because you've given money to Kopp, Chiarot. Dave Perrin wasn't that expensive, was he? Let's look at their cap
like,
friendly.
Probably like 4.5, but I think he's a free agent after this year. Like, I think they've signed a lot of guys to like 1 or 2 year deals. Which is sort of different from the Benning plan of signing those really shitty players to like long-term deals, at least.
Yeah. JT Compher's 29 though, and he's signed for 4 seasons
Andrew Kopp, I think, is signed
Andrew
for a while
Kopp
too.
5.6 for another 3 seasons.
Yeah.
DeBrincat's making 7.8. Did you know DeBrincat's like had one more assist this year than he did last year
Really?
In Ottawa? Like, he put up basically the exact same statistical season.
He scored more goals, though, I think, right? Hasn't he?
Did he? No.
Oh, wow.
No. He had 27 goals and 40 assists this year and 27 goals, 39 assists last year.
Okay, so the same year, basically.
Yeah, basically the exact same year.
Okay.
His plus minus was better, if you put any credence into that. He went really cold when Larkin was hurt.
Yeah.
As a fantasy owner of him, which I mean, I guess you're not too bummed about that. He's still only 26. And then on D, who do we got that's old? Justin Hall is signed for another 2 years at 3.4. Jake Wallman, another 2 years at 3.4. Ben Chiarot, another 2 years at 4.75.
Jeez.
Petrie's got another year at 2.34.
They're gonna trade some guys or buy some guys out. Like, I just don't. Because, like, Evanson was really good for them when they brought him up, is my understanding. Like, he wasn't scoring a ton, but, like, he was like good defensively for the most part and skating well. And he's like a big dude. Like he does kind of look like a Victor Hedman sort of out there.
Okay.
And so funny to be trotting out like just some bad players back there. Like
Lane Hutson looked good, by the way, watching those two games. He did. Very good.
Yeah. Montreal, I think, will be kind of a low key fun team next year.
Yeah.
Especially if they get lucky in the lottery this year, which would be, I would, Celebrini going to Montreal would be fucking cool.
That'd be dope. Yeah.
Yeah. I would love that.
Yeah. So I had watched the first two periods, got pissed off that like Detroit was still behind. I'm like, fuck this. And then turned off the TV, was reading my book. I'm like, well, it's probably near the end of the game. Like I should turn it back on. And Detroit was down with 30 seconds left. And so I turned on just in time to see that goal. I'm like, yeah, woohoo, this is so cool. I wonder what's going on in the other game. And then you're like, oh, womp, 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 womp.
Yeah.
Actually, no, that's a lie.
It happened like almost simultaneously.
Simultaneously, but I still had my earbuds in because I was reading and listening to some music in the background. And so I kept the music on. And I'm like, well, I'll wait for this overtime to actually start and I'll finish off my like little chapter here. And then I looked up and it was like 2 minutes left in OT and I just kept the music on for the last 2 minutes. I'm like, oh, cool. They won the shootout. I wonder why they look so sad. There's a big reason why. And here's the fucked thing. If in real time that exact same result had happened in Detroit, like a minute earlier, they would have got word on the bench that, hey, no point pulling the goalie early.
Yes.
We're not going to make it.
Presumably. But then it would have been so funny to see if they still did it anyway, right?
Yeah, like, as like a fuck you. Like Tortorella said he didn't know, but that must be such a dagger to Wings fans, right?
Oh,
but
my God. I mean, I think like if I'm a Wings fan, I'm a little worried that you came so close, you know, Buffalo came so close last year too, right? And then look what happened this year, right? Like you do worry about taking a step back, but Detroit does feel a little different than Buffalo.
Yeah.
And I think they should make the playoffs next year. And I do feel like you look at the teams like Buffalo, Detroit, Ottawa. I mean, those are the big three, I guess. One of them should be primed to take a Vancouver-like jump next year. I think... Right. Maybe not that far, but I think one of them will do well throughout the year and be clearly in the playoffs like a month out. You know,
in
what
our
I mean?
Fourth year of saying that, I mean, you look back at early March, they lost to the Coyotes twice. They've lost to the
Caps like a nine game losing streak.
When they brought their patch in.
Yeah.
I did a little bit of, we've completely gotten off the Canucks, but I did do a little math earlier.
Okay.
Drantz brought this up and he just kind of said it in broad terms on the radio. So I wanted to go look at the actual numbers.
Yeah.
Did you know the Canucks have been resting like all their good players over the last month?
Really?
Yeah. But besides Petey.
Yeah. Yeah.
So beginning of the season, it's, I think in all scenarios, it's a little bit more stark, but so this is all situations, just ice time average per game. So until March 15th, Hughes was averaging 24.7 minutes.
Okay.
Since the 15th, 24.5, not too crazy. Hronek, on the other hand, went from 23.7 minutes to 22.1. So almost a minute and a half less a game.
Okay.
Besser, similarly, 18.7 to 18.1. JT, 19.5 to 18.9. So basically like another half minute less a game. The only exception here is Petey went up 19.5 to 20.2. So I think that's them trying to get Petey going because he wasn't feeling super confident.
Right.
On Drantz's like little hit there, he was saying that they were decreasing Pedersen's ice time and then it jumped back up by like kind of super compensated. So it's probably them trying to get them going. And then it's also at even strength is a similar trend. JT Miller almost down a full minute of even strength ice time a game. Same with Besser. Same with Hronek. Hughes actually had a slight uptick in even strength ice time.
Okay.
So for all the how upset people have been about their form over the last month.
Yeah.
This team knows how to play the fucking wheels off their star players, as we saw down the stretch.
Absolutely.
When they made sure to drop down to the 11th overall pick. So I think that's another maybe advantage going into the playoffs is that they've been managing ice time.
Yeah.
Kind of under our nose without us noticing it. I was also just like scrolling through like the recent games played. And it very rarely was JT Miller playing over 20 minutes a night over the last month, when very routinely before it was like 22 minutes a night, 23 minutes a night.
Yeah.
Earlier in the season when the games kind of mattered more. So I think we'll see a better Canucks team in the playoffs when all those guys are playing a shitload.
I think so. Then they're going to be playing their asses off too. Like it's going to be, I mean, Garland, the way he was playing yesterday when he pulled the 6'8" guy out of the scrum was so funny. And I really want to see that in the playoffs. The game one schedule is just dropped, by the way, for the Eastern Conference.
Oh yeah.
And they're they're fucking stupid.
Oh really?
5 Tell PM Eastern, on Saturday. So 2 PM Pacific. Islanders at Carolina, the Leafs Bruins at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
That tracks.
3 p.m. Eastern, so that's noon Pacific, Capitals and Rangers. And here's the really stupid one, 12:30 p.m. Eastern, Tampa, Florida on Sunday.
So
9:30 in the morning.
Oh my Pacific. God, that's ridiculous.
That's so stupid.
They've got to be like... Well, obviously the Western games are going to be later, but why would you have it that early
for a
playoff game?
Zero sense. It makes no sense at all.
That is kind of mind boggling.
Yeah. It's just classic NHL shit. Like, no, that's so stupid.
I got
God damn.
Stupid bastards.
I want to watch the games at night. You know?
Yeah, that's the best time to watch them. Like, okay. The Canes Isle series, probably not going to be one that I watch a ton of. I seemingly never watch the Islanders in the playoffs. It's always one that I ignore. Rangers Caps, that's another one I'm probably not going to watch a ton of. But Come on, man, the Tampa teams.
Tampa, Florida is going to be great.
Ugh.
Yeah. And I mean, the
Toronto one makes sense. That one's fine.
Yeah. God damn. Did you see What's the guy's name? Sam Cosentino.
Oh yeah, what do you
see his latest scouting reports are out?
No,
and they're really stupid.
Do we have any key selections on the ready?
Yeah, Carter Yakimchuk. He's got him at 5. As a late birthday, he won't get a chance to play in the U18s, so the on ice portion of his book is closed. 30 goals and 120 penalty minutes are two eye-popping stats. This one is even better. Zeev Bouyam, who looks incredible. Exposure, playing almost 30 minutes in each of the two games en route to a national championship, gave the general public a look at what scouts have seen all season long. Does not say what the scouts have seen at all. That's all it is. That's all he said.
Man, he's the GOAT. He's got to have blackmail, right?
I don't know. I just don't understand like why he still has a job. Like, it makes no sense. God.
So with the Canucks clinching the division.
Yes.
I do have a playoff special.
Okay.
Actually, I have three of them from the last time the Canucks were in the playoffs.
Wow. In front of like fans, you mean?
Yeah.
Or in 2020?
14, 15.
Okay.
I guess this is a discussion for next time. That's the other big question mark with the Canucks playoffs is like, how will the guys that haven't been in them do? Because we're not counting like Pettersson or Besser or Hughes being in them. I think just fine, by the way, because they're good hockey players.
I think so, yeah.
All right. First player played 5 games for the Canucks in 2014-15.
Okay.
He put up 0 points.
Okay.
He played on the right wing.
Okay.
In his NHL career, he put up 6 points in 24 games.
Okay.
Can I get
6 points in 24 games?
Yeah.
Did he play in the playoffs for them?
Did he play in the playoffs for them? That is a good question. Postseason metrics, extra stats.
Because that was a year where I was, that was kind of, I mean, just the start of the Benning year, I was starting to check out a little bit, because how could you not?
Right? Yeah, exactly. No, I was the same way. No, he did not. He did not make an appearance in the playoffs.
Did not make an appearance in the playoffs. Right wing, played 24 games for the Canucks or all time?
After the Canucks, he had a cup of coffee with the Rangers, where he did not produce at all.
Okay. Okay.
Much like in two of his three seasons in Vancouver.
Three seasons in Vancouver. Okay. Yes. And he, was he drafted by the Canucks?
Yes. Former first round pick.
Oh. Former first round pick. Jordan. No, it wasn't Jordan Schrader because he played for Minnesota after. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Nicholas Jensen, was it?
It was.
It was?
Yes.
Wow. Oh my God.
I was excited about him back in the day.
Yeah.
I thought this guy was going to be a player.
Yeah, he's from absolutely.
Denmark, like Yannick Hansen.
Yeah.
I don't even know why I was had like any real hopes for him because it's not like he did well in the AHL.
No, I think it was just like
just because he was a first round pick.
I feel like he also had a decent draft plus 1 year.
Perhaps. In the OHL, 58 points in 61 games.
Yeah, let me see.
Oh, wait, no, that was his draft year. And his draft plus 1 year, he had 58 points in 57 games.
Yeah.
Which,
pretty good.
Game in the OHL, I guess that's fine, right?
Yeah, it's not like that's okay, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, so it wasn't anything crazy.
Yeah. Right?
I think it's, yeah, he had 4 goals in 6 games in the AHL in 2011-2012.
Okay.
I think that got people a little excited.
All right,
23 points in the Swedish Elite League. In 50 games, which is pretty good. You're playing against men.
That's not bad.
But yeah, just nothing with the Canucks. I mean, I do not remember him scoring a single goal for us. And he scored three. So.
He scored three, yeah.
Yeah.
And in what year was that? The following year in 17 games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
All right. So next player.
Okay.
So this year in Vancouver, when they made the playoffs, he was ninth in team scoring.
Okay.
He had 18 goals, 9 assists.
Okay.
Bit of a ball hog.
Yeah. Was it Lyndon Vay?
No, it was not Lyndon Vay.
Okay.
Let's see. He has played for a bunch of teams in the NHL.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams.
Okay.
Drafted by the Detroit Red Wings.
Okay.
In 2006. Canadian.
In 2006, he was drafted by the Red Wings. How many games did he play for the Canucks that year? He was ninth in scoring.
He was ninth in team scoring. He played 78 games that year.
Drafted by Detroit. Did he play for anyone after Vancouver?
Yes, he played for Toronto, Colorado, and Winnipeg.
Okay. Did the Canucks sign him or trade for him?
They traded for him.
For him.
In that year, he actually scored a hat trick. 14-15.
Was it Sean Matthias?
Yes.
Wow. He was like not horrible for the Canucks, right?
Yeah. I mean, he had 18 goals and was ninth in team scoring that year.
Yeah.
Then after that, he signed as a free agent the year after.
Then he went to Toronto, I think. Right?
They went to Toronto, yeah.
Okay. And it was, he was in the Luongo trade to Florida, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, okay. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, he came with Markstrom for Stephen Anthony and Roberto Luongo. Here's the weird piece of trivia about him, though. So he was drafted by the Red Wings, never played a game for him, but traded by the Detroit Red Wings with a second round pick. To Florida for none other than Todd Bertuzzi.
Damn. Wow. Yeah.
Traded for both Luongo and Bertuzzi.
That's crazy. That's interesting.
Oh, shit. It says on here that he's on Twitter now, and I clicked on it, and his account suspended.
Oh, that's probably a bad sign.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Probably not great. I wonder if his Wikipedia says why he got suspended from Twitter. No. Well, I'm sure we can probably guess. Probably saying some cool stuff. I wonder. That's really funny that he's fucking suspended because I was really looking forward to looking at his likes. People, does he have a new account? No. No, there's a play that stars Ian McLennan Magneto. And Patrick Stewart.
Returned
to the UK stage in Sean Mathias's acclaimed production of No Man's Land. Yeah, it doesn't look like
probably a different guy, I'm guessing.
Probably a different guy.
Yeah.
He got banned for his play being too good. All right. Okay. I feel like this is the most difficult of the guys this week.
Okay.
Maybe not. Let's see. So he played 54 games for the Canucks.
Okay.
Was 21st in team scoring. So he was another defenseman, and then he had the exact same offensive output as Lucas Spezza. So he had 3 goals, 8 assists. He was plus 9, though, and Spezza was minus 8. For whatever that's worth.
Man, I'm trying to remember. This is 2014-15.
Last time the Canucks made the playoffs.
Was Yannick Weber on the team then?
It's a good question. It's not Yannick Weber. Yes, he was. Yeah, okay. This was the year of Yannick Weber where he had 21 points, 11 goals, 65 games.
So he actually had a better.
Yeah.
Fuck, who's this
below the
be?
Depth chart.
Okay.
Let's see. He only played 4 NHL seasons.
Okay.
He was bookended in his 2 years in Vancouver by a season in Chicago and a season in Washington. But he played 1 game for both teams in those years. So really only ever played for the Canucks.
Was he traded for or signed?
Let's see. Picked up off of waivers.
Oh. How many years did he play for the Canucks? 2 or just
2.
1? So did Gillis pick him up off waivers then? Or did
He would have, let's see, what was the date that he was picked up off of waivers? September 30th, 2013.
That would have been Gillis then.
Would that have been Gillis? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, because 14-15 was the first Benning year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he played 64 games in 13-14.
Okay.
Let's see what he did that year. I wonder if that'll help you out at all.
I'm trying to remember Gillis, like, waiver guys. I'm just thinking of, like, guys like, I mean, it's not like,
oh my God,
just throwing out names like Patrick Coulombe. It wasn't, that was way before that, I think, too. Anyway.
So he was 15th in scoring the year prior.
Okay.
Which was one less point than Chris Tanev. He actually outscored Alex Burrows that year.
What's his name? I want to say Ryan Shannon.
You're very close.
But it's not Ryan Shannon.
It's Ryan Stanton.
It's Ryan Stanton, right? Yes. Okay. Yeah. But he was like a little guy too, I feel like. I remember him being like kind of a smaller, like kind of tough-ish guy too, I want to say. Maybe.
I have no memories of him whatsoever.
Ryan Stanton. Let's see. Yeah, he's I don't think he's like a super tall guy, I feel. Oh, no, he was 6'1". Okay. Why did I think he was a smaller guy for some reason? But yeah, I seem to remember him being one of those guys where you're like, he should get more ice time, you know, because he was like decent for them, right? As like a waiver pickup.
Yeah, it's just like a guy that I don't perceive of at all. But like based on his counting stats, like it's kind of weird that nothing else happened with him from then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like. So, yeah, he isn't banned on Twitter. His
okay.
Twitter likes look pretty normal. Seems to like the Oilers, which I'm not a fan of.
Okay.
But there's a fave tweet from Stooley Presidente.
Okay, well that makes sense. Oh, he's from St. Albert, Alberta. Okay, so that makes sense. Yeah, it's in Edmonton.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give it to him. That's a good excuse.
Yeah. When did he last play? Oh, he played in Germany last year. 34 games. And then he played in the AHL for like after. So he had 1 game in Washington in 15-16.
Mm-hmm.
And then from 2016 to 2022, he played 7 seasons in the AHL. So
oh, no shit. Just like
decent
journeyman
career.
Pro hockey player.
But yeah, not bad.
He his last fave tweet is from Governor of Michigan. Gretchen Whitmer And Trump's closing message to voters for today's presidential primary was, well, you have a terrible governor. Listen, I can handle a hit, but attacks on me are an attack on the progress we've made in our state. Michigan, I've got your back and I won't stop fighting for hell for you. Won't stop fighting like hell for you.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's like anti-Trump, which is surprising. For an NHL player.
Yeah. He's playing in Austria right now, by the way.
Okay.
In their league is called the Ice Hockey League.
International, what does I stand for?
International Central European Hockey League.
Oh, come on. The Ice Suck my ass. Oh, more breaking news. The sale of the Coyotes to Ryan Smith has been approved, subject to the Board of Governors approval tomorrow.
There you go. Yeah. That's sorry, cool. Sorry, Coyotes fans. And now, you know what's nice is we don't have to worry about Edmonton losing to them anymore. I mean, I would still love to see that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's just so nice to be able to kind of be checked out for the next little while.
Absolutely. Like, ideally, I would have liked an overtime loss last night so I would know who the matchup is going to be and there's not that small possibility of it being Vegas. But yeah. I'm also just really happy solidifying it. Don't got to stress tomorrow. Don't got to stress today. Just good vibes until the playoffs, baby. And then we'll be on the edge of our seats.
Oh my God. Our episodes during the playoffs are going to be it's going to be so much fun.
We're going to be pulling our hair out.
Oh, it's going to be great. Oh.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. If you'd like bonus episodes every week, especially in the playoffs, patreon.com/ I hate this team. Support the show, Discord access, bonus eps. Good shit. Go Canucks, go.
Go Canucks, go. See you right before the playoffs, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye. He shoot anything, he'll take everything. Professor, his shots scare goalies, rewriting history, fans jumping off the seat, lead us to victories. Every day he'll shoot anything, he'll score everything. And we know we have Bo, he's leading with his good play. Looking up, future's bright. Are you ready for some good days? Have to have high.